Judaism, some of the literature is actually quite beautiful, and it's quite poetic. People sat down and wrote poems and thoughts about things. Here's one such poem, one such thought. Can you as a man imagine what happened, for example, when you wake up from sleep, and while you were asleep, Adonai took the rib and made the most perfect human being ever. No. The perfect wife. And he wakes up and he sees the perfect wife. I imagine, what would you have said? Wow. That's if you're high and it's dope, you'd say, wow. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you just go, and you can't even say anything. You just, faith is gone. Well, that's the second time that Adam is surprised. The first time Adam was surprised was upon creation. The scripture records for us that on the sixth day, Adonai created the man. Okay? So, scripture tells us that he breathed on the man, and he became a living creature, a living being. So he opens his eyes, and he's alive for the first time. This is the first time. What do you think the man said? So the rabbis sit down, and people in Judaism, and look at it, instances like this, and want to come up with something that is, what could he have said? We don't know what he said. But what could he have said? So the Mishnah has a little blurb that describes what possibly he could have said. Okay? So this is not scripture, but it's a thought on scripture. And it's a beautiful thought on scripture. It reads, it was the sixth day when Yah began the creation of man. When Adam opened his eyes and saw the beautiful world around, everything that had been created, he's now getting to experience it and see it all for the first time. What were his first words? Again, we can say, wow. Or we could say, oh my. No, Gator fan. Oh my. Or who knows what he said. But here's what the rabbis say he said. No, surmise. He said something much more important than that. The creation is not greater than the creator. He's beholding the one who's done all of these things and who's going to make him the sovereign. He's going to make him sovereign of this world. That's what is going to happen. But instead, here's what Adam said. The Lord is king forever and ever. In other words, the first thing out of his mouth was the acknowledgement that the Lord, he's the king. He's the sovereign. He's everything. That's in scripture, Adonai Yimloch Leolam Vaed. We just sang it. It comes from Exodus 15 and 18. It's part of the song of the sea that Moses sang when they crossed the over. He continues writing, the echo of his voice rang throughout the world. So the Lord responded to Adam's recognizing that he's the Lord. And here's what the rabbi surmised could have been a response of the Lord of God to Adam. Now the whole world will know that I am king. God said, and it says he was very pleased. Therefore, a historic theme for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, is that statement from Exodus, Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. The person who put that to music is no longer in the Messianic movement. We don't know what happened, which is a real loss. Every time that we sing one of his songs, or Steve McConnell, we ask the Lord to restore him, to restore whatever happened to him, and bring his music back, bring him back, bring his music back. He was a member of a union congregation in New Hampshire, Connecticut, okay, just north of New York City, actually. And he's a member of that congregation. It's a union congregation. And so he was familiar with all of the liturgy and all these things that, like you guys would be. So he wrote music that captured the essence of that. So Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed, he begins the song by saying, though the sun may one day shine no more, though the waves of the sea not make their way to the shore, though the birds of the air no longer sing, though the winter fails to be followed by spring, Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. Adonai is king forever and ever, will never end. Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. I really like the last verse of that. When men that are foolish are said to be wise, because that speaks to our day. When love waxes cold and enemies rise, when it seems as though you just can't go on, when everything that there is gone. Well, Israel practiced that, you know, on Wednesday morning. We're going to practice it too. Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. So today, in Yom Teruah morning services, in synagogues around the world, when the ark is opened, and that actually happened, he did it. I made sure that he knew to do it. So he did it, okay? The congregation chants the Supreme King, Melech Elyon verses. We sang some of that. We did it as a prayer, as a responsive prayer, the very same thing. The most important single theme of the Yom Teruah service, according to the art scroll, Maxor, is the Supreme King. Yah is King. Can you responsively say with me that phrase? Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. Adonaiim Loch Leolam Vaed. We, in the second poem, it was a poem, we read the refrain was Adonai is king. Adonai was king. And forever shall Adonai be king. And you notice that the words in English were in poetic form. By the way, those of you who understood that, did the reading and the reading aloud of that in poetic form. You did it beautifully. Thank you, Lord. Okay, not just like, you understood that that was set up so that it would rhyme. I've always complained about English and their poetry. In Spanish, the poetry is so much more easy and beautiful. And then we proclaim with a loud voice, Adonai is king. Adonai was king. Forever shall Adonai be king. We did that. So what is it about today? Why did the Lord say to have a Zikron Teruah? Zikron is from the word of remembrance, a memorial. To have a remembrance, a memorial, a rehearsal of the blowing of the shofar. The reason is that the king is coming back. The king is coming back as king. Okay? This is, we know that as the second coming of the Messiah. And in literature, in placing a title over that part of scripture, it's called the Blessed Hope. I don't know if you've looked at enough Bibles that they don't actually keep that. Some of the older ones have as a title of the section of 1 Thessalonians 4, or all of that, the Blessed Hope. The Blessed Hope. The Blessed Hope is blessed, and the hope, the Blessed Hope is the return of the Messiah. So let me read a part of this to you. In 1 Thessalonians 4, this is familiar scriptures, 14:13-18. Now we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. We have a blessed hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, so with him God will also bring those who have fallen asleep in Yeshua. Verse 15, for this we tell you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way precede those who are asleep. It says that the resurrection happens first. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout. You know what that is in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the scriptures? Teruah. With it, look, here it is. We just have to look for it, and it's there. Here's the sound. Not only a commanding shout, this is a commanding teruah, like when we're going to do that in just a minute again. With the voice of the archangel and the blast of God's shofar, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Then we who are alive, it's weekday. I guarantee you that the phone says this is spam. I guarantee you that the phone says it's spam. And so this is what I get. I get it all the time. I can tell it to ignore it, but unfortunately, we're trying to get certain things done, and you know, it just keeps wanting to. It's from Arizona. I had no business in Arizona, so. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout, that's a teruah, with the voice of the archangel. Oh, so the archangel is going to have a voice. Archangel, right? So it's one of two. You figure which one, Michael or Gabriel. And with the blast of God's shofar. The archangel is said to have a voice, but what he's doing is he's blowing the shofar. And the dead in Messiah shall rise first. So at the last, that in part of the old English, at the last trump kind of thing, right? We have a new trump hopefully coming, but at the last trump right here, something's going to happen. Then we who are alive and who are left behind will be caught up together with them in the clouds, which is not very far. Let's ask a couple of pilots, how many hundreds of feet is the clouds? Is it 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, or is it a lot lower than that? Is it like what, 500 feet? Okay, 500 feet is not that far, right? 5 football fields, right? 5 football fields, that's pretty close to the earth, okay? That's what we're going to be caught up with. It doesn't say we're going all the way to heaven. No, it just says we just get right, just barely above ground. Do our only little planes fly? Okay? To meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and there were some confusion, so he wrote them a second letter another day to explain what, in case you misunderstood what he was talking about. This commanding shout is the Tekiya Gdola, which our Tokiya is going to do multiple times today. And it's mentioned by the Apostle Paul. It's associated with the season of Yom Teruah. That's when that has prominence in all of Judaism. This will also be the time of the proclamation. So when the king's coming, what are we going to do? Just go, oh, well, he showed up. Or is it going to be an excitement going, the king is here. The king is here. We will just be shouting it over and over again, just like Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We're going to be shouting, the king's here, the king's here. That's called the proclamation. And then we will have the opportunity to crown him as King of Glory, like we just sang. So we can crown you as King of Glory. In the Hebrew scriptures, in the Tanakh, it is written, John, get ready to play that song that I have there called The Lord Reigneth. We're not going to play all of it, but just a little bit. Not yet. Hang on. This is from Daniel. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands upon thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And that's 10 to the 4 times 10 to the 4, it's 10 to the 8, the speed of light. 3 times 10 to the 8, speed of light. Big number. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. What? Okay, so the shofar is speaking, okay, making noise. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season at a time. John, play the music. The next verse.
I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed.
Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, they've lifted up their voice.
That's a song.
That's all the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea.
The Lord reigneth.
He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength.
Isn't that wonderful to have music to the scripture? To give it so much extra. The Son of Man is returning in the clouds. And these are his witnesses. Who are the witnesses? The believers. The believers in Messiah. Those that have died and those that are, you know, which are resurrected and those that are still alive. They're the believers. That's the witnesses. So it is written. So then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, right? So we get to the clouds, right? And we ourselves are indistinguishable from the clouds because we've been transformed. We now have, you know, eternal bodies if you were dead, and you have eternal bodies if you're not dead. You get transformed, and now you're angelic, almost like angelic beings. And when you see a lot of angelic beings, you imagine that it's like clouds. It's like clouds. Only if you're a pilot, you really kind of understand that. If you're riding on a big plane, you don't really see it. Okay, but if you ride and if you ride with Sam or TJ, they have larger planes, but they have smaller planes too. You know, where just a couple of you can ride. And you can actually get a feel for what this is like. You know, in there, there's. So it says, let us too put aside every impediment that is the sin which is easily hampering our forward movement, and keep running with endurance in the contest set before us. That's in Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:2 is famous. Walking unto Yeshua, the author and completer of our faith. I have so much more music I could play. We'd be here all day. We can compare the account of Daniel. That Daniel is in the, you know, 500 years before Messiah. Okay? Here's the part that I want to focus on. I saw in the night visions what was read. It was, you know, it's a little bit not sharp. Like you could hear the reading. And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancients of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is that which will not be destroyed. And you responded to that in the music. Look at what John saw. Now this is now in the New Testament. John the Revelator said, after these things I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in the heavens. And then the voice like a shofar, which I had heard speaking with me before, said, come up here and I will show you what must happen after these things. instantly I was in the spirit. Okay, don't rejoice. Just stay quiet, whatever. Instantly I was in the spirit. And there before me in heaven stood a throne. And on the throne someone was sitting. This is in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And he goes on to describe the throne. And what he describes is the same thing that Isaiah describes when he saw on the part Isaiah where with saying Kadosh, 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 and the angel came and put the coal in his mouth. Or what Ezekiel saw. And Ezekiel describes the four beasts perfectly. And each of why four? Well, each one of those is associated with one of the commanding tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, so the face of one was like a man. Well, one of the banners of one of the tribes of the children of Israel is a man. Do you know which one it is? Okay, maybe I'll help you if I go to the second one. The second one was like an ox. That also describes one of the Amenos, because she taught this, describes another group. The third one was like an eagle. Oh, that describes another group. And the fourth one was like a lion. Ah, you know that one. That's Judah and Benjamin and... Now look, clearly the trumpet that John heard, trumpets in the King James Version, was the shofar. The Yom Teruah shofar. You see, Yom Teruah is speaking to John at that point. And all that we've been rehearsing, it comes and actually testifies before John and before Yeshua. On the day of the awakening and the loud shout, the teruah, similar to the experience that the children of Israel had in Mount Sinai. Have you remember that? The children of Israel had the same experience. Look, we read that last night. Now the entire Mount of Sinai was in smoke because Adonai had descended upon it in fire. The smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. With the sound of the shofar grew louder. When it got to Tekiah Doa, when it got to that point, and louder even, like Stephen tries to do. He's just human. He's superhuman, but you know, in blowing the shofar, but he's still human. Moses spoke, and God answered him with a thunderous sound. In other words, they were awakened by the sound of the shofar. And they were awakened to come meet with the Lord. You realize that when we blow in the shofar, all these things are playing out. All these things are happening. We're connecting with the children of Israel in Exodus 19. We're connecting with those people that were numbered by thousands and thousands and thousands and ten thousands, right? That Daniel saw. Then we're connected with a group that John the Revelator saw. And how did he see it? He got in the spirit. We need to get in the spirit. To me, therefore, it's not surprising that the Conference of American Rabbis holds fervently to say that on Yom Teruah, the gates are opened. Open up ye ancient doors. We actually read Psalm 24. Okay, that was the second reading this morning. Look, it's all other places. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. Isaiah 26, verse 2. Another one. Adonai has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. Look, this is David is speaking as if it were Yeshua. This is a prophecy, but it also applies to us. I shall give thanks to Adonai. This is the gate of Adonai. The righteous will enter through it. We get to do it too. This is Psalm 118, verses 18 to 20. This is part of the Hallel. Okay, this is part of the Hallel. Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Open up, you ancient doors, fling wide gates, and let the King of glory come in and take his place. When we read Psalm 47, what we're reading is a ceremony of enthroning. So how was a king enthroned? And let's see if the psalm agrees with it. And I'll be done here in a few minutes. The first thing that happens is it has to be a decree. It has to be a decree. Somebody has to decree it. Oh, boy, did the prophets now get excited about this. Are you jumping up and down? The first thing that happened, a decree has to be given. Look, Psalm 2, verse 6 and 7. I have set up my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will declare the decree of Adonai. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. We need to decree. What does that mean? Find the scripture that it's a rhema that God makes and decree that. Look, if you ever speak scripture, you don't have to worry about if it's going to pass or not. You don't have to worry if it's going to be active or not. You don't have to worry if the enemy can intercept it. He can't intercept it. He won't get near it. He won't get near it. And then they give him a rod and a scepter, which is the emblem of a king. Can you remember the scripture that mentions the scepter and rod of the Messiah? I'm just leaving it open. When you find it, the scripture that mentions the scepter and the rod of Messiah, you understand that he didn't bring it from heaven. We have it for him. We, the ruled, have it for him. Here, be our king. Do you understand? I'd like to be part of those that present him with the rod and the scepter, won't you? Next thing that happens, the ceremony of the taking of the throne. The king sits on the throne and is anointed as king. Okay? You remember that David was anointed by Saul. By? No. Right? Don't let me tell you stuff. By whom? By Samuel. Samuel also anointed Saul. And he anointed, when the spirit was taken from Saul, he went, the Lord sent him to anoint the successor. And he went and anointed David in his household, in front of his family. That meant that from that point on, he was king and everything going to be great. Yeshua came in the office of a prophet, Messiah ben Joseph. He's resurrected and is currently exercising continually the office of Kohen HaGadol. That's in Hebrews. The high priest of heaven. When he returns, he's going to be in the office of king. Mashiach, the king of kings, Messiah ben David. Third, There is an acclamation or a proclamation. What is it, the proclamation? The historic proclamation is, long live the king. Long live the king. This is followed by a clapping of hands. What? Let me read for you Psalm 47, 1 through 8 again. For the music director, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For Adonai Elyon is awesome, a great king over all the earth. There is a proclamation. Here, the psalm contains the proclamation. Okay? And it gives extra information. We did that last night. I just have to remind you what we talked about. Last night we shared that Psalm 47 is the coronation psalm. But what does verse 6 say? Shout and shofar. That's what it basically said. Shout with your voice and shout with the voice of the shofar. So that's going to happen on the day of the coronation. You understand that's what we're doing? We're practicing that. We're getting really good at this. With all the young teruas that we go through, we're getting good at this. We're actually doing it. We're rehearsing it. Fourthly, the kingdom subjects come and visit the monarch after he has taken the throne. How about that? Well, maybe I need to read Zechariah 14 right now. Verses 16 through 19. Then all the survivors from all the nations that attacked Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king. That means the Arabs and everybody else, right? Adonai Tzva'ot, to celebrate Sukkot. Furthermore, if any of those nations do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Adonai Tzva'ot, they will get no rain. Huh. If the Egyptians, no, they're named here. If the Egyptians don't go up to celebrate, they will have no rain. Instead, there will be the plague that Adonai will inflict on the nations that do not go up and celebrate Sukkot with the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 19, this will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. In other words, once Yeshua is here, year by year, everybody's going to be required to come and see him at Passover. No. At Shavuot. No. At Yom Teruah. At Yom Kippur. At Sukkot. Do you understand why I believe Sukkot is the greatest of all the festivals that's yet to be fulfilled? It's great. Therefore, all the inhabitants of the earth must come every year and visit the King of Kings during Sukkot, which is after Yom Teruah, by the way. Exactly 2 weeks. In Isaiah 66, that's near the end of the book of Isaiah, it says, for just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, will endure before me, declares Adonai, so your offspring and your name will endure. And it shall be from new moon to new moon, and from Shabbat to Shabbat, all mankind will come down and bow before me, says Adonai. Is there anything left? Do you understand that what we're doing today is in Scripture? It's scriptural. So we have to dig it up. Isn't that wonderful that he didn't just say, okay, do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, like Passover. Or, you know, all those things. Instead, he said, just come and have this memorial for me of blowing the shofar and blowing your mouth. And we can then dig it out and find out, oh my goodness, there's a lot more to this than I had any idea. It's there for me, but I had to go fish for it. I'm not a very good fisherman, so thank God that it's a good pond, the book of Psalms and other places. I want to leave you with this thought, also from Judaism. Okay? I think it's a really good thought. Because Daniel said in the prophecy that we just read that there were some books brought out. Huh? So this is not just made up. This is based on what Daniel said and saw. So let me just give you the bottom line. You know, so again, you can search it out yourself. In Jewish thought, the books are open on the day of judgment, Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin, the day of judgment, HaDin, the Bet Din, is actually Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah is when we are, that's why we give a blessing and say, may you be inscribed in the book of life. Are you going to be inscribing one or three books? Everybody's going to get put in a book. Well, let's wish that you get inscribed, person you're talking, in the book of life. Here are the three books. The book of the righteous, Sadiq. The book of the wicked. And the book of life and remembers, Sefer Zikaron. Therefore, on Yom Teruah, we say, may you be inscribed in the book of life. Yeshua came to give us life, and life more abundant. Leshanato va'atikatevu. The full blessing is, Leshanato va'atikatevu betichatenu le'altar lechaim tovim u'leshalom. Let me translate that for you in English. The full blessing. May you be inscribed and sealed immediately for a good and sweet year, a good life, and for peace. We shorten that. So here's the blessing in Israel. This is what the Israelis say to one another. Leshana tova umetuka. Leshana tova umetuka. May you have a sweet and good 5785. Amen.